This is Foundation Day, and there was a collect that was for Foundation Day. This is the collect that would normally be said on this particular day. Let us pray. O Lord, make us have a perpetual love and reverence for your holy name. For you never fail to help and govern those whom you have set upon the sure foundation of your loving kindness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. That sounds like a Foundation Day comment.
Yeah, it does.
All right, I need some help. I know everybody says, yeah, we know that. And tell us something new. Need some help with this sermon. What was the Old Testament lesson about? Now, I saw many of you reading along. That's good. I encourage that. I think that's a fabulous thing to be doing. But what was the Old Testament lesson about?
God setting Job in his place.
Yeah. Say again?
God setting Job in his place.
God setting Job in his place, right? Okay.
I'm God, you're not.
Yes. Say again?
I'm God, you're not.
There you go.
By the creation of the world.
Of the world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now, what was the main point of the psalm?
Love endures forever.
There's a whole thing, analogy about salt, the waves and storms and
uh-huh. The storms. But what was the main point?
Faith.
Okay, good. All right. Faith in
God.
In God. Okay, that he'll deliver us. Okay, good. Now, what was Paul trying to convey in the epistle?
Reconciliation.
Reconciliation was a very big part of that epistle. Yeah, there was lots and lots of stuff in the epistle. So this is kind of a cheap question. But yeah, I mean, you know, he was trying to convey an awful lot of stuff. But yes, it was about ministry of reconciliation. But do you all remember the first part of it? You remember the last? What was the last part of it? He made him to be sin who knew no sin.
That we may
become the righteousness of God. Very good. All right.
The Psalms really helpful.
Yeah, there you go. Now, if you look at the first two verses of Corinthians, it really doesn't have anything specifically to do with reconciliation, but for Christ's love compels us. Compels us. That word in Greek can be translated compel. I think King James says constrains us. RSV says controls us. The love of God controls us. That's an important message here, okay? And then the next verse, he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. Okay. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him. So there's a lot of good stuff there. Okay. Now, what's the message in the gospel? We're running out of lessons here.
Yeah,
so we're coming to the end there.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Have faith.
Have faith. Yes. All right. That's a good point. There is a theme going on here. I'm glad you caught that. Tell me the theme. What's the theme? God's in control. Perfect. Yes. Absolutely. Give that star. All right. And when all these bad things happen, that God is still in control. And that really when these bad things are happening, it's an invitation for us to come to him. Just like you see in the psalm today. It's an invitation to come into a relationship with him. I mean, obviously, Job was not a happy camper. And he bellyached against God. And God said, well, let me put you straight here. Okay, yeah. But it was an invitation to Job to come into relationship. And the guys who were in the boat in both the psalm and in the gospel, when all the bad stuff was happening, it was an invitation to turn to God and to come to him and say, God, you're in control. You can make something good come out of this. And he does. I'm sure that all of those, Job and the guys in the boats, were all asking, why? Why? But rather than ask why, and ask who can I turn to? Okay? And then Paul was saying that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Well, who are we supposed to live for? The love of God controls us. Turn to God. God is in control. You can trust Him. Yes, there's a ministry of reconciliation, but only if you are in Him. The love of Christ controls us. All right, so this is actually on Tuesday. Will be the 26th anniversary of the founding of the Charismatic Episcopal Church, the 26th anniversary of the consecration of Bishop Adler. Now, in those 26 years, a lot has changed. There's been a lot of stuff that's come and gone, and but there are some things that are still very secure in the CEC. Give me some idea of the hallmarks of the Charismatic Episcopal Church. What are some of the hallmarks of the CEC? What's that?
Three streams worship.
Three streams worship, yes. What else? What's another hallmark of the CEC?
Government by consensus.
Government by consensus is a very, very big one. Yes, okay.
Apostolic authority.
Apostolic authority, yeah. It's not unique to us, but yes, it absolutely is part of who we are. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other hallmarks?
Those are the big ones.
Okay, well, let me give you one that you probably, you may, well, it won't come as a surprise to you, but it was in the original canons, and those canons have all been superseded by multiple other canons since. But the original canons, the idea when they began in 1992 was that the entire communion of the Charismatic Episcopal Church would be founded on relationship. It was the one thing that really attracted me more than anything else to the CEC. All of our bishops are supposed to be pastors of a local congregation. They can't be a CEO in an office apart from the church. The whole point was a relationship. The original canons also said that no bishop would have more than 25 churches under his authority. Well, that no longer the case, but anyway. But the idea was that so that the bishop would have a relationship with his clergy and with the people in those congregations. Relationship was a very big part of how the church saw itself. So that, you know, one of the questions that was asked of me when we were still in the Episcopal Church but thinking about coming into the CEC, well, what if we come and then you go and you leave and you become a priest somewhere else? But even that, the whole idea behind the priest in the local parish was, you stay there. The father of family does not leave the family. And so, again, relationship. So that's a hallmark, I believe, that's a very important hallmark of the CEC. Now, all of those things are good, but I have not always agreed with every decision that's ever been made in the CEC. That may come as a shock to you, but I even put one in an email to you not too long ago about when Bishop Bates became the patriarch, he changed so that we no longer have a season of Pentecost. You know how I really miss Pluto? Well, I kind of miss the season of Pentecost. It's still there. We just don't celebrate it the same way. But God is in control. That's what I've heard. And He's calling us into a relationship. He's called us into a relationship with the Charismatic Episcopal Church. And though there may be things we don't agree with, God is in control. And so what really needs to change is not that we bellyache until it goes back to the way we wanted it to be, but what needs to change is my attitude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that stinks sometimes. But those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him. It's not about, oh, I know. You've heard that before. It really isn't. It's not about you. It's not about what you want. It's not about your desires, your hopes, your likes and dislikes. The love of Christ controls us. Well, how do I know? How can you know? How can any of us know whether a decision that has been made or a word that has come is truly from the Lord? How do you test that?
Is it biblical?
Is it biblical? Good. That's one. There's a three-step process here. Okay, is it biblical?
Ooh, I know.
All right, Sean, what do you know?
Confirmation,
absolutely. That's actually the third step, but let's get to the second step. No, it's good. This is good. That's good.
It's an important step.
Absolutely. Biblical, it's confirmed.
I'd be cheating because you told me.
Oh, you'd be cheating.
For the good of the church.
That's right, for building up the body of the church. Exactly, that's it, the three things. Is it biblical? Does it build up the body? And has it been confirmed by the elders of the church? So take a look at that thing about Pentecost. You know, is it biblical? Well, there aren't any liturgical seasons in the Bible. So, you know, is it biblical? Well, one would ask, does the patriarch have the right to change something that's not specifically declared in Scripture? Well, yeah, I guess he does. He has that right. Okay, secondly, does it build up the body? Well, the reason why the patriarch wanted to do that was so that we would become more in line with other liturgical churches, because the other liturgical churches didn't have a season of Pentecost. They have a season after Pentecost. And so it puts us in line with the Roman Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the Episcopal Church, the Anglican Church. You know, it puts us more in communion, so in that sense it does build up the body. And was it confirmed by the body? Well, it was confirmed by the House of Bishops. So, yeah, I mean, that's the word of the Lord. So, what do? I can't complain about that. Well, I can, but I shouldn't complain about that.
You do.
I shouldn't have an attitude about that. But then again, okay, you know, the love of Christ controls us. So, what is God saying to our parish right now as a CEC parish? We are CEC, so what do we do? What is God calling us as part of this communion to be doing? Well, the word that I heard was spiritual breakthrough. We need to be praying for spiritual breakthrough as a congregation. Now, was that biblical?
Yes.
Oh, that was a resounding yes. Wow! Is that biblical? Yes. Okay, of course.
The Bible doesn't use the word breakthrough. That's why everyone's
calling. We do not live for ourselves, but for him who died for us. Yes, it's biblical. Okay. Does it build up the body? Well, if we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, is that a positive thing for the whole body?
Yes.
So, and if each one of us is empowered and encouraged and there's a spiritual breakthrough in each of our lives, won't that help the whole? I would think, yes. Okay. Has it been confirmed by the elders? A rector's council, did we confirm that? Oh, I think so.
I believe so.
Yeah, okay. So it's been confirmed by the elders. Was that the word of the Lord?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. There you go. The love of Christ controls us. Now, you know, in the scriptures that I rehearsed with you guys earlier, all the guys in the boats, I bet they were not very happy with the circumstances they were in. Job was a fount of joy. We know that. So, no, he wasn't very happy with what was going on. And there are some of us right now who are not particularly happy with the circumstances that are going on in our lives. There are things that are not going necessarily the way we would want them to go. There are things happening that we really have no control over. So, what do we do? How do we handle those situations? God is in control. The love of Christ controls us. Our happiness is not what God is really focused on. Our unhappiness is, in His eyes, a call to return to Him. Are you with me? Does this make sense? You know,
let me share a story. Back when we were at this, I'm getting away from my notes, so pray for me. Okay? Back when we were at Holy Trinity in Garland, Texas.
That's Bill and Maine, not the rest of us.
Yeah. That's, and Christopher was along for the ride. Anyway, that's where he was baptized. That's where I was ordained to the priesthood. It was at Holy Trinity in Garland. Anyway, I had a Sunday school superintendent, and she left her husband. And so I went over there. What are you doing? She says, I'm unhappy in my marriage. Well, you've got two kids, and they're in elementary school, and don't you think there's some other concerns that need to be here? She said, well, I think God wants me to be happy. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't. I don't think God wants you to be happy at all. I think He wants you in your unhappiness to seek holiness. And she said, well, I'm not going back. And I said, I'm sorry, you're not going to be Sunday school superintendent either. And she was very upset with me for some reason. You know, it's really not about our happiness. It's really not about what we want. It's really not, you know, I would love to have the season of Pentecost back. I would love to go back to purple in Advent. I would love, you know, there are things that, is, you know, I, but it's not about me. It's not about what I want. And it's about the family. It's about the church. It's about the kingdom. And in any family, there's going to be some disagreements. Not everybody has to agree on everything. But when Daddy speaks, when Abba, Father, speaks, and it's confirmed, and it's for the whole, then we need to move forward with that. We may not understand it. We may never understand it on this side of the grave. But if we're being obedient to Christ, it will all come together. I shared a story with the Rector's Council Thursday night and with David again this morning that I got a call from Bishop Kessler this week. He was asking me about something having to do with St. Michael's. But then, I don't know, there was a switch that just flipped. And he just started bellyaching about everything. He was complaining about everything CEC, you know. And, well, the first thing he was complaining about was me. He was, why did you quit? Okay. Anyway, so and he was going on and on and on. And the thing that really cracked me up, though, was he is the Bishop of the West. And the convocation that's going to happen this coming month is under his authority. It's going to happen in Henderson, Nevada, which is, you know, Las Vegas. And he said, and this is Las Vegas in July, okay? You know, 114 degrees in the shade in July, okay? You know, anyway, and he says, and whose big idea was that? Thank you. You're the bishop. You're the one. You know, we can complain. It's okay. You know, to let loose with some of that every now and then. But ultimately, it's our attitude. Are we going to be submitted to what those in authority over us say is the word? And if it's biblical, if it builds up the body, if it's confirmed, then we need to go with that. And sometimes that's hard. And sometimes that's uncomfortable. And sometimes that makes us unhappy. But by being obedient, it will make us holy. I believe the CEC is on the right track. We're doing the things that God has called us to do. And we need to persevere through this. And trust that those who are in authority are going to keep us on the biblical path. That's going to build up the body of Christ.
Meditation last week, like sometimes it's weird. We need a bumper sticker that says keep CEC weird.
Good idea. Good idea. All right. It's an invitation. Whenever these unhappy things happen, it's an invitation to draw closer into relationship with God. All right, so let me give you a challenge, all right? Here is a challenge for us as a parish in the CEC as we pursue this spiritual breakthrough that God has spoken into our lives. All right, three things. And they relate to the three streams, okay? Should make it easy for you, all right? Be challenged by the Word. The written Word, yes. The Word of God. Be challenged by the Word. But also be challenged by the prophetic Word. I don't understand that Word. I don't think I can... Is it biblical? Does it build up the body? Has it been confirmed by the elders? Okay, that's the evangelical. The Word. Be challenged by the Word. Be challenged by each other. Encourage one another. Pray together. When you get these meditations or you get a word from the Lord, talk to each other. Be challenged. This is the body. And when the body comes together, that's the sacrament of the body of Christ. When we come together in communion, are we encouraging each other? Are we challenging each other to be all that we can be in Christ Jesus? Are we encouraging each other to trust in God and to put our confidence in Him, to be compelled by Him? That's the sacramental side of it. Be challenged by each other. And thirdly, be challenged to bring others into this relationship. Be challenged to believe that the Holy Spirit empowers us to go out into the world, to be that light in the midst of the darkness. As Jack was praying about this morning and during the praise and worship, you know, it's hard sometimes when you go downtown or wherever in this city and you see the Asheville weird, you know, be CEC weird. I like that. That's really good. Okay. Be CEC weird. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you into the lives of these. And trusting that God is going to equip you with everything you need to do the ministry He's called you to do. Be challenged to bring others into this parish. Invite people. I was encouraged when Jim McKinney, I was downtown in the post office, and that's where Bob Wilson works. Do you all, anybody remember Bob Wilson? He works in the passport office. And I was down there mailing something, and I heard his voice through the door. And so as soon as I mailed the thing, I went in and I went over to Bob and I told him that I would really love to see him again. We'd be really happy to have him come back. And he said, "Oh, Jim McKinney's already invited me." Good job, Jim. Good job, Jim. Yeah. That's what we can do. You know, don't be afraid to go and to just reach out to people and to let them know the love of Christ that's in you. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you. Let the Holy Spirit shine through you. Be challenged to bring others into this relationship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.